Welcome to the fourth episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes mobile game. I am your host, Edinar, and I'm joined tonight by my co-host, Coleman. How are you doing today, Coleman?
I'm not doing too bad, but it's not all about me tonight. We have a very special person here with us.
Yes, we do. We have ourselves a special guest host tonight, one of the header honchos of our guild, Rebel Force Alliance, of like 10 different guilds. We call him Dave. Dave, how you doing?
Hey, guys. It's cool to be here. It's 12 guilds now.
Oh, it's 12.
It's 12, against my better judgment. I think it was 10. I went on vacation, and I came back, and it was 12, so... I'll blame the rest of the head honchos on that one.
All right, fair enough. I think I came over, and I think like the 11th, then, because I think one more joined after me.
Sure. Yeah. No. It's been fun, kind of growing to that size. It's like a second job in many ways, but it's been fun because we all love this game. So.
Mm-hmm. So, what have you guys been up to this week in the game? We'll start with you, Dave. What's your week been like in the game?
Commander Luke. It's been a lot of Commander Luke and Rebels. I ran the Threxus team for a long time and put a lot of eggs in that basket, and it's been fun to kind of switch it up for the first time in a couple months and get to run something different. So it's been a lot of Luke moving mods around, which is, as you guys know, never a fun chore to do in this game, and just trying to feel out that team and, you know, what works well. I zated Raid Han, which was, a really fun move. He's fantastic now. So been messing around a lot with that, seeing how it's working in my shard chat, seeing what my, you know, shard mates are saying about how the team's performing, and, you know, looking to try to figure out how to tweak it from here on out. I think I'm going to work on Ezra moving forward, see if he fits in the team, and, you know, trying to explore these Rebels, a faction I haven't really used a lot in this game. So,
yeah, see, I'm in the same camp as you. I just got my Ezra to gear 11 with the theory of putting him with Commander Luke and Radon.
Mm.
So I'm excited for that.
I mean, yeah, and he's great in a lot of different modes. He hits like a truck. So he's a good investment, I think, regardless of whether or not you're going to use him in arena. He's good in the raids, and I'm sure he'll have some application in almost any mode that comes out in the future.
Yep. So Coleman, how's your week been in the game?
Oh, it's been fun. You know, Commander Luke's in the game now, and of course, you know, my entire shard is running Commander Luke. And I have to be the one person who has no trace of Commander Luke on his team. I have him 7-starred, got him all that. He's gear 11, abilities Omega, yada yada. But as if you've listened to the past few episodes, I'm heavy Imperial, and I've been fine-tuning them, moving my mods around like Dave has with his Commander Luke, except all my mods have been kind of reconfigured onto my Imperials to where, okay, Commander Luke, take this and all that. Just kind of trying to go against the wave of whatever happens right now. So pretty much just that. It's been pretty successful so far.
Okay. Yeah, I think everyone's just kind of been dealing with Commander Luke this whole past week. And a lot of people are breathing a sigh of relief that that's gone. But we'll talk about Commander Luke a little later. We want to talk right now about the new game mode that is coming out, and that is called Territory Battles. Mm-hmm. All right, so we don't know, we know a little bit about Territory Battles, but Coleman, we'll start with you. What have you read or learned about Territory Battles?
You know, the thing that kind of surprised me the most is, of course, the environment bonuses a little bit, but now with this whole, what we've kind of seen today is the timers. I'm really worried about these timers, because in raids and whatever we've done so far, yeah, there might be a 2-day timer for the heroic hat raid or the heroic rancor, and that really hasn't been much of an issue, but it looks like with this massive scale of what territory battles are, that worries me about what that timer is going to be.
Yeah, I guess that never really struck my mind. Considering you're fighting, the thing I noticed, because, all right, so what we're talking about is Today, Star Wars released some gameplay footage of territory battles. And they have a timer at the top, but you're facing level 55 characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. I mean, I guess these. It looks like the battles all progress similar to like some of the legendary events and things like that. They're multi-tiered, but you know, I guess maybe they'll get. I'm assuming it'll get harder as you move on it across the, you know, across the campaign battlefield.
Now, all right. So we got the new like gameplay footage today. They've also said things like special characters will be more useful than others in this. Dave, what have you heard about this?
Well, I think at this point it's pretty much confirmed that the two Hoth rebel characters, Soldier and Scout, are absolutely going to get some type of bonus and be necessary for certain, I guess, areas on the map in order to access that battle. So it looks like it'll be kind of a two-tiered approach to that, and that you're going to need a character at a certain star level. You know, some of the early screenshots had, you know, a Hoth rebel soldier required at 3 stars. Who knows if that'll be what the final game or the final mode actually requires, but you're going to need a character at a certain star level. And then that character, in addition to being needed for that particular battle, is going to get a bonus in that battle too, where it's not quite sure what that's going to look like. I mean, I think one of the screenshots that I saw from the video earlier today had, I believe it was, I think that Scout, although him and Soldier look shockingly similar in their picture, so it's hard to say. Mm-hmm. It was one of the two. I think it's Scout, and he has three things above him. One looks like speed, one looks like defense, and one is the rebel sign. So I don't know what that means. He might get a speed bonus, they might have some defense bonus, they might have some damage bonus, various characters throughout. So, you know, we as a guild tried to, you know, put out a farming guide just to kind of give people, you know, a little bit of a heads up of like, hey, you might want to farm your rebels. I think it's going to be a lot of rebels against a lot of Empire, obviously, if they're going to pull the Battle of Hoth through, and it's, you know, try to be as true to form for Star Wars in that battle. So you know, you're gonna need to dig deep into your rebels. So, you know, sorry, Coleman.
That, unfortunately, yeah, I mean, I have rebels, don't get me wrong. I've got a good bunch, a good core going, but
good
mods,
good. Yeah, we're gonna need it.
All that other stuff, I'm like, oh boy, I'm not anywhere near y'all's level at all.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We're gonna have to remod. People already had to remod and move mods around for the raids. I'm a little frightened to see what we're gonna have to do for territory battles.
Yeah, I'm hoping they come out with some kind of tool that lets us do that easier. But we'll see how that works out.
I think we all want that. I know that's been posted on Reddit and the forums probably a million times at this point. I wouldn't hold your breath for this update, but hopefully we get a quality of life update at some point in the coming months that lets us.
Why you gotta dash my hopes down like that, man? Come on.
You know, listen, hey, let's take any new content I can. I don't want to throw too much at CG at once.
Okay, I understand that, I guess. But
okay, so
yeah, hail to the snow trooper.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I think it will. I was going to chime in. I think it's going to be more than, you know, and this is kind of a general consensus that it's going to be more than Hoth Rebel, Soldier, Scout, you know, the two new characters or three new characters.
Yeah.
I think you're going to start getting Snowtrooper. God, what are some of the other ones? Veers?
General Veers.
Yeah, Veers.
Standard Stormtrooper. You know, even Vader, right, shows up in the Battle of Hoth towards the end of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, but not too much in there.
Well, he does walk into the base, I think, at the very end, right?
Yeah, he is the last one in there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, one thing I have kind of noticed that, and I've heard this comparison a lot, is this is essentially going to be a guild galactic war.
It could be.
Like, each one gets progressively harder and harder and harder until
it. Definitely what made me think that it's going to be something similar to that is the way that it sounds like they've structured rewards, and they haven't gotten into much of what type of currency we're going to get or exactly what's going to be available in the store outside of what it sounds to be like gear 12 gear. But you know, certainly when they I think we're going to talk about the new characters, but when they first talked about, I think Leia, Rebel officer, Leia, they mentioned that you're going to get charged based on the amount of battles your guild completes. So, it's going to be just like Galactic War Nodes, and if you get through 8 of them, you're going to get 8 shards. So it's really going to require full participation from everybody, and, you know, I guess we'll see the difficulty level. I do expect it to be quite difficult, and I think it's going to – it's really going to shock guilds for the first time since the HAAT, which we all know was a big shakeup for guilds. So I expect it to be of, you know, similar stature when this launches.
Right. Now, if I can build on that a little bit as far as the rewards go, what we've kind of heard right now is that, say, if you want Hermit Yoda, you're going to have Commander Luke, and you're going to have to enter that battle with Commander Luke in order to get those Hermit Yoda shards, and you need Captain Han Solo in order to get Rebel Officer Leia. So doing that also says, however many people enter that battle, say 38 out of 50 people in your guild have Commander Luke, so they can do that Hermit Yoda battle. When it's all said and done, however many people completed that phase, so essentially how many people have Commander Luke, that's how many shards you get. So 38 shards of Hermit Yoda, if they all complete it.
Right.
And which is kind of interesting, because those people who don't have Commander Luke are now missing out on another character.
Yeah, I love the idea that it allows, you know, those that have certain characters to help carry those that don't, and vice versa. It really kind of makes it for the first time. It you know, with the first two raids, you know, the rewards felt like you were still battling each other a little too much. And
right.
I think getting to the point now with territory battles where hopefully it'll feel more like a cohesive effort and we accomplish something together and here's what we all get, I think that's more rewarding for guilds, especially, you know, those guilds that have been together a long time and really have that camaraderie. I think it'll be exciting for them. So, you know, I'm looking forward to that part of it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Now, one thing, one of the main reasons, Dave, that we wanted you on today was we wanted to talk to you on, because you're one of the head honchos and a very large guild. Like, we are a very large guild. What's some of the things that you guys as the leadership are kind of preparing to do to get the guild ready for this? Or are you contemplating anything new, like moving around or anything like that?
Well, I mean, Rebel Force is born from having to reorg a bit and merge in order to complete the HAAT. So it's something we're familiar with. We've kind of, for the last, since the HAAT came out, we've really wanted to help other guilds kind of grow and get to farming Kenobi shards, because we know how, you know, big a mountain to climb that raid really was for a lot of guilds. And we wanted to, you know, knowing that we had some pretty hefty rosters, wanted to be able to help as many as possible and just grow our community. We've been effective in doing that. I think what now the challenge with territory battles is how do we find that happy medium between, you know, keeping our, you know, stronger, heavier rostered players who need to continue to progress, you know, happy with that progression, but then also make sure that all of our members, you know, regardless of roster strength, are, you know, happy and being able to progress and being able to, you know, engage in the new content and feel like they're contributing. So it's not going to be an easy task. I think, you know, most guilds, especially of our size, are going to have to consider, you know, a variety of things to be able to make it work. You know, reorganization might be one. Consolidation could be another, but I don't think we know exactly what's going to be needed yet until we have an idea how hard these things are. And we've talked a lot about those things, but we're, you know, unfortunately going to have to take somewhat of a wait and see approach. And as I would expect most, you know, larger guilds like us, things, you know, guilds like Instinct that have gotten smaller, you know, probably won't have to worry about it as much. But, you know, guilds like us that have a larger player base are certainly going to have to do that.
Okay. Now, one thing I wanted to get both your opinions on is territory battles replacing raids?
Coleman, I mean, looking at the
Let's start with Coleman. Yeah. I just kind of threw that out there. So, Coleman, we'll start with you. What do you think?
You know, I can't really see it replacing raids, only because it's a little bit of competitiveness inside the guild, which it's healthy to have that competition inside it. But alongside that is that the rewards are not just going to be tossed aside. Those rewards from gear 9 to 11, those are vital. Those raids, that's the only way you can pretty much advance from gear 9 to 11 is those raids. So they're not going to be just thrown out the window. They're still going to have their usefulness, and we're probably still going to see one or two more raids introduced, even more than that. I'm not sure. Don't quote me or anything like that, but I definitely can't see the raids going away.
Okay, Dave, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the same boat. I don't think they're going to go away. I mean, it sounds like this territory battle is going to be... This is the new endgame content, right? I mean, obviously, you know, we'll get into Luke in a little bit, but, you know, just through the release of Luke and certain things like Leia's Zeta and Raid Han's Zeta, they've made both raids through that much easier. And that was done by design. I mean, that wasn't a mistake. They want these raids for, you know, more end game type guilds to be not trivial. They still want people working towards higher scores because obviously higher scores in those raids still equates to better gear, but or can equate to better gear, more gear, I should say. You're still going to get your MK4 Carbonis when you finish first in the pit raid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man, don't tell those MK4 Carbonis. I needed a couple of those.
Hey, Raid Han needs one at Gear 11, so there you go. That's,
oh, yeah, that's who needed it, yeah.
I was very excited to give him that because they finally had a use for those things. But I think territory battles, and they've already hinted at the fact that if this goes well, we're going to get another one, and we may get more after that. This is our new... you know, end game fun, hard content to challenge our rosters and challenge, you know, guilds growth and see how strong guilds are at working together. And, you know, they don't want people to have to focus on too much at one time because it's just not realistic. And I think that would potentially burn people out and potentially cause people to quit. So, you know, they want the other raids to be a little bit more trivial, a little easier for people and have territorial battles be the new kind of starring content for those guilds that are more evolved and further down the line as far as, you know, roster size and roster strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, now as you were talking right there, it kind of clicked in my head that since they introduced Commander Luke and the two new Zetas with Princess Leia and Raid Han, is that they want us to not focus as much on the raid and try to focus more on territory battles. That's what it's looking like.
Yep, absolutely. 100%. And you can just, you know, just seeing some of the, you know, phase one clears by, you know, Commander Luke alone or Luke and Han together. And it's, you know, now you don't need Vader anymore or a painfully slow Tebow run to clear the Rancor. So they did this on purpose and that's both exciting for, you know, me and as someone who has to think about, you know, a large guild, that's great because I think that means we can continue to complete all that content across most of our guilds, if not all of them, while we can focus on territory battles. So that's a big thing.
Right.
Yeah, the reason I brought that up is it's one of those things where as for you guys, as leadership's roles in our guilds and any leaders in any guilds, I can't imagine the chaos that would happen is if they introduce a straight up third raid. like trying to organize a Rancor, the AAT, a new raid, territory battles, it would be maddening. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and here's the thing too, is that they're not done. Apparently it's been said that they're kind of looking to add on to territory battles too as far as areas go, and I'm like, holy cow.
Yep.
But now can't they add like a raid type boss to the end of each one of these territory battles?
You know,
and that be their raid.
It's kind of looking like that. Dave, do you have anything to say about that?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you had to fight. So it looks like we're going to have to use both our character rosters and our ship rosters. And I wouldn't be surprised if that last, you know, we've all kind of seen that screen now of the, you know, the battlefield and, you know, there's multiple sections you progress across. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, there's a Star Destroyer, in the upper right corner of that. I wouldn't be surprised if your ships had to take on a Star Destroyer, and I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of, you know, the battle you had to fight an AT-AT or AT-STs throughout it. God knows they have the AT-ST model now, right? Because we just fought one with the Ewok event. So,
right.
You know, that's totally possible that we're going to have small raidish type battles similar to that AT-ST battle, which, you know, was pretty fun, if not easy, but it was fun. So I think they're going to work that in here. I really think territory battles is going to be hard. I mean, I don't know if you guys, what it was like for you guys, the first HAAT that you did. But you know, the first one we did as a, before we were, you know, Rebel Force, we failed and it was painful. Because it really made you realize how you weren't prepared. Your rosters weren't prepared. You didn't have, you know, the right depth and strength to be able to do it. And I think a lot of guilds are going to find that to be the case with territory battles. And, you know, that's exciting, but it's also kind of like, all right, because you have to be careful when moments like that happen, because you don't know how people are going to react. So it's definitely going to be a big shakeup, and, you know, we're all pretty excited about it.
Right now, so Ednar, did you see the pictures from Reddit earlier?
Which ones?
It was the ones where you were pretty much fighting a regular old, like, 8-on-5 battle, like you against the Imperial TIE pilots and Hoth soldiers. Okay. Did you really see anything in there that kind of piqued your interest?
Well, all right. So one thing that piqued my interest on this was the one I'm actually looking at it right now, and I wanted to bring it up a little bit later, was there's a new buff that I've never seen before.
Is it the one with the kind of green skull?
It's the green skull with the lock on it.
Now, before we start this, I believe it also shows up in, I believe, 9B light side hard battles.
Oh, God, I passed that once, and I refused to go back.
Yeah, Embo placed it on you.
Oh, does he Embo place a green one or a red one?
I think last time I did it was, which was a couple of days ago, just for fun. I think it was green.
Maybe. Is that the same thing, though, that the Ewoks get in that Ewok battle you can fight with Empire droids, and it denotes the deadly character that does, like, excess damage?
Like Deathmark?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's like a... They introduced it with the Ewoks when they first did that Ewok battle. When they did the first one, they didn't have it there on there, and people were very confused why, like, the 2-dot health Ewoks did massive damage. So they added it to make it very apparent that some characters did, you know, additional or excess or massive damage when they did their attacks. I feel like that might be what that is.
It's possible.
Yeah, now that you say that, it looks familiar.
Yeah, it looks very familiar.
So that, but I think that goes to speak to what potentially could be some really tough battles, even at lower levels, because some of these characters might, you know, hit outside their weight class.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
So, and I mean, the other thing I saw on there is, this may be nothing, but they're running 3-stars characters in this. So to me, that sticks out as you can use any star level no matter what. But they have them geared up. And that's weird to me. I don't know really why, but like it's basically they have 11, like a gear 11 Hoth Rebel soldier at 3-stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know why they need to have them that high for these fights that they're showing, like they're testing.
Yeah. They did say, though, that what's weird is in the one image of the same image you were just talking about with the green skull, and you have like the Hoth Rebel scout or soldier that's level 85 and gear 12, but it's 3-stars. That technically is impossible, right? Because they said you had to have a 7-star character to be gear 12. So, that doesn't give us a whole lot, because that looks like it can't happen. But then, how gear do our characters at the end of the day really need to be? Because they say we're going to have to use our whole roster, but let's be honest, we don't all have a full roster of gear 11 characters. So,
no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you brought this up, Dave. You brought up the dreaded extra number of gear 12.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so explain. They announced gear 12 for characters. Can you explain a little bit how you go about getting gear 12?
So what it sounds like from what they announced, and you know the exact nuance of it, we don't know yet, but is that the gear 12 will only be available for characters that are 7-starred. They seem pretty adamant about, you know, I don't know if it means eliminating, but it might mean reducing the usefulness of lower starred characters and things like Arena. So they want gear 12, I think, to be a massive jump in power and, I guess, utility of characters, whether that means they're going to hit harder, they're going to have more protection and health, we don't know. Maybe it adds speed boosts, we'll see. But we're certainly going to have to obtain that gear and obtain it quick. And the only way it sounds like we're going to be able to get that is through whatever shop becomes available through territory battles. So based on the currency we're going to earn, you know, as a guild, because it sounds like we're going to get all the same rewards, both shards and coins or currency or whatever that currency ends up being, we're going to have to purchase that gear. So, you know, I like that model because it means maybe it's not going to be as RNG dependent as gear is right now. I mean, you can sit there and wait for those HoloLenses that drop in the HAT forever and never get them. But maybe we will be able to just buy the gear we want. I would expect it to be very expensive, and it's going to take a while to gear 12 our characters. I'm sure they want gear 12 to last just as long as gear 11 has. But yeah, so it's going to be very based on how the guild performs, on how much or how quickly the rest of the guild and you know, yourself are able to take your characters to gear 12.
Now, as do you think this gear, how do I put this? Do you think the gear will be available for real cash, like for the whales, to get to gear 12? Or will they have the same progression that free-to-play players have if they're in the same guild? They'll both be getting gear 12's items at the same time.
I definitely think that it's going to be a little bit of both, but they're going to do, like, mostly for what I've seen is they do a little something for people who pay to play, and then they always do something for free to play as well. But just a little, there's going to be some kind of better chance of getting it for the pay to plays, some type of increase for them.
Yeah, I'm not a whale, but I've certainly spent money on this game. I think part of me wants it to be available because part of me doesn't want it to be available because I know I'll buy it. But part of me, you know, because I know for certain characters like Kenobi is a perfect example. He needs one piece right now to get to gear 12.
Yeah.
And it would be like a no-brainer to spend, you know, I at least for May, who's plays this game competitively and really enjoys it, you know, if it's $20 for that piece of gear, I'm probably going to do that. Now, you know, I think at the end of the day, for the health of the game, you know, it might be best if it's not. And I don't know if CG is going to make that call. Obviously, they have to make money with this game, so I understand that. But, you know, putting all the guilds kind of in the same place for the first time ever, all the players in the same place for the first time ever, and saying the only way you're getting this gear is if you work together with your guild to earn it, I think would be a really cool thing for this game. And, you know, hopefully that's the route that they go, but I would imagine that just like everything else, there's going to be a way to speed things up through cash.
Okay. Now, do you think they will introduce new mods to the 6-dot mods with this stuff as well? Like, bump those up as well?
Maybe. They've hinted at mods through, what was it, that Wicket? They mentioned for Wicket, right? If you have a 7-star Wicket when the AT-ST little mini ray or heroic battle or whatever they called it.
Yeah, they said the rewards would be worth it.
Yeah, you get a special mod.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I shudder to think what special means sometimes when they throw that word.
I didn't want to spend $200-$300 on a wicket.
No, no. I mean, listen, I'm the biggest, you know, outside of Cord and another guy in our guild. You know, I certainly was one of the biggest proponents of the Ewoks, but even I wasn't about to drop that kind of cash. I'll farm him when he's available. I'll shard shop him too. I've been saving up there, so you know.
Well, the only way you can get wicket, so to say, is through those heroic battles.
Yeah, that might end up being the case too. A lot of people are saying that's really going to be the end up the only way. I know they said that you're going to get shards through him that way. Did they say it was the only way?
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to be the only way to get wicket.
Well, wicket, we'll meet one day, I suppose.
Okay, now, all right, so Dave, you will get it. Coleman, you will want to murder it.
Completely different. I might just ignore heroic battles altogether unless I hear this reward is really enticing.
Okay, so let's go get into some of the... Well, let me get your feelings on one other thing real quick on Gear 12. Will it kill not having 7-star characters in Arena?
You know, I think it definitely will, and we're kind of seeing that a little bit with Ahsoka Tano, Fulcrum. We were having this discussion today, and say like a 3-star Ahsoka Fulcrum will hit maybe 6K on a crit, mm-hmm. and a 7-star one will hit 11K on a crit. That's a little bit due to mods, but at the same time, if you're running about the same crit damage sets, which is really can only be about 216%, it's a noticeable difference.
Yeah. I mean, so I get attacking characters like a Fulcrum Ahsoka, even Nihilus. Will it affect tanks? You think? Like, will it affect the Shore Trooper, the bases? Because those are the hard ones that a lot of people have troubles with.
It might. I mean, I think so there's already like a damage penalty, right, between if you use characters of lower levels against characters of higher levels, there's like a damage penalty that, you know, it's reduced. I think it's the same way with star levels currently, but you've seen characters introduced with kits and CG mentioned this. I think they wanted to do this because they wanted people to be able to use lower starred characters, but I don't think they ever thought you'd see. And it's really Nihilus and Thrawn that I think have done it the most, right? That have been able to be, that have come into this game in the last, you know, 6 to 8 months and have been able to be used at 3 or 4 star level because they're not necessarily needed for damage, right? They're there for other reasons. So,
right.
I think they want to. Listen, it behooves them to do it just to make people farm up to 7, but it also, I think, helps the overall health of the game just to give people, I guess, that sense of accomplishment of wanting to have a 7-star character, getting them to Gear 12, and then you put them into Arena. But, you know, it might hurt a lot of free-to-play players in the beginning, which I think is unfortunate because, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen your shards kind of change a lot over the last couple of months. Some of these new characters allowed other players to get up into the top 10, and that might change, you know, going forward if Gear 12 is really that big jump. And I would imagine it's going to be that because they keep saying it's going to be. So, you know, I'm just going to assume that they're being honest when they say that.
Yeah, I haven't seen my shard change too much. That's just because it's a bit older and it's a bit intimidating at the top there. We've got about...
Yeah.
6 or 7 team instincts sitting there, and I think people just get frightened off, like, let's not go ahead and attack them.
Yeah, but I would imagine some of their mods.
Yeah, I'm up there with them, but at the same time, I understand where they're coming from, but a lot of other shards, though, I've definitely probably seen a lot of movement lately.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, next we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the rewards that we know about that we get from territory battles. And by that, I mean the 3 new characters, but we only know 2 of their kits. Of course, I'm talking about Rebel Officer Leia Organa, and then it's what, Captain Han Solo? Yeah.
Yep.
Captain Han Solo. Mm-hmm. So, Rolo, as... Princess Rebel Force Leia is being called.
Rolo.
So she's a rebel. I'm just going to go over her kits real quick, and then I'll get your guys' point of view on them. So she's a tenacious rebel attacker that counters debuffs and is more effective against healthy targets. So her basic is deal physical damage to target enemy, inflict buff immunity for 2 turns, lay against 10% turn meter, an additional 10% turn meter if the target had full health, and an additional 10% turn meter if the target is Empire. That's a lot of turn meter. her first special one, Rebel Barrage, is deal physical damage 10 times to random enemy targets. Enemies struck more than once suffer ability block for 1 turn. This ability's cooldown is reduced by 1 whenever Leia scores a critical hit or suffers a debuff. And that has a 14-turn cooldown. And then... Oh, were you going to say something?
Nope.
Okay. And then her leader ability is Rebel allies have plus 20% tenacity, plus 20% crit chance. Whenever a Rebel ally takes damage from an Empire enemy, they have a 50% chance to gain foresight for 2 turns. The first time each turn a Rebel ally resists a detrimental effect or suffers a debuff, they gain 30% turn meter. And then lastly, her unique Dauntless is Leia has 10% offense, 40% tenacity, and the first time each turn Leia resists a detrimental effect or suffers debuffs, she gains 50% turn meter and gains 35% offense, stacking until the end of her next turn. So, Coleman, we'll start with you. What do you think of Rolo?
She's going to be a pain in my butt, considering I run Empire, but other than that, I'm not going to be too terribly worried, especially with that leader ability, because let's face it, there's better leader abilities out there.
Yeah, it won't be used.
No, I can't see anyone really upgrading that at all unless it's for a power jump. But Dauntless is pretty much take a Kylo Ren almost.
Yeah.
Except with maybe debuffs instead of just each hit. And then her basic is kind of what worries me the most, I think. Is that all that turn meter gain, especially when you hit like first couple series of attacks with her in an arena battle or whatever, everyone still has full health. You're still going mowing down protection at that point, and she's going to gain 30% turn meter, especially on people like me.
Yeah. Now, with that said, it does also look like she hits a little bit softer than a wet noodle with it.
I don't quite know her gear level on this. It looks to be about maybe... Okay, it's gear 11. She's hitting gear 11 on them.
Yeah. Yeah, a little over 4,000 crit is not... it's not going to get the job done, I think, in something like Arena. To me, she seems like a character that's very much geared towards the territory battles because obviously it's going to be a lot of Empire. She gets a ton of turn meter through her basic. It looks like if she's the leader and through her unique, she's going to get a ton of turn meter, and then also other rebels are going to get a ton of turn meter if there's a lot of debuffs, and God knows Empire throw out debuffs like nobody's business. So I would guess it's really to help people through territory battles. But I don't, you know, looking at it again, and it's hard to always say this until you see them in practice, but it doesn't look like she's really a character, at least right now, that's designed for any type of high level arena.
Right. Which is what I think a lot of people are looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, normally, right. That's what gets people excited about a new character is like, how am I going to dominate my shard with this guy? And I think it's a little less exciting when it's just going to be used in like a PvE type mode, but for something as important as territory battles, it might end up being not as big of a deal. And, you know, obviously people are going to farm her.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
The Rebel Barrage on a 14 turn cooldown. Yeah. I know she gets a lot of turn meter, but I just don't like this.
No, well, here's the thing, too, is that with General Kenobi and Shore Trooper and all these crit immunity people out there, it's not looking too good for that cooldown.
No. No, it's really not. And it's unless you have it Omega'd, I think it's Omega'd, it's a 16-turn cooldown.
Right, absolutely.
All right. So I think, I think it's kind of a consensus between all of us. She's not going to be any good in Arena, but she's going to be good in territory battles.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
She better be good in something if that's the new character we're getting.
Yeah, if
right?
That's one of them. If he has to unlock Captain Solo to go get her, I'm like, I hope she makes territory battles easier.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, since you brought it up, the other one is going to be Captain Han Solo. And he has my favorite costume in the game. It's his snow-covered suit.
I'm not surprised.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah.
He's got a cool animation, too, where he dusts the snow off himself, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's because Han Solo is kind of the man.
Yep.
So, all right, so his basic attack is deal physical damage to target enemy, inflict daze for 2 turns. Empire targets can't resist or evade and take double damage from this attack. If Han has full health, gain 30% turn meter. His special ability, Hunker Down, dispel all debuffs on Han and target ally, and they both recover health equal to 40% of Han's max health and gain 25% turn meter. Then, if the target ally has full health, they also recover 20% protection. This ability's cooldown is reduced by 1 whenever an ally suffers a debuff, so it has a 10-turn cooldown. His special ability, Search and Rescue, is a revive. It revives a random defeated ally at 1% health and 0% turn meter. If that ally is a rebel, they recover 50% health and 50% turn meter. And that's a 6-turn cooldown. And then his unique, Nick of Time, he gains plus 15% crit chance, plus 30% crit damage. In addition, at the end of his turn, Han recovers health equal to 10% of his max health. If Han already had full health, the least healthy ally is healed instead. And whenever Han uses his basic, he gains plus 10% max health, stacking for 3 turns. So, all right, Dave, we'll start with you. What do you think of Captain Han Solo?
I think he's got a better of the two. I think he's got the better chance of maybe making it into Arena, only because Daze is pretty powerful, and he has it on his basic, which is always nice when you have a really good debuff on your basic. Yeah, I would imagine, and let's be honest, right, Arena right now is debuff crazy. It has been for a long time. So with a 10-turn cooldown on his second ability, you know that 2 characters back to back, you know, someone like. Or even just this 1 force crush, and that's reset.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, he'll be able to use that pretty often to heal. I mean, healers haven't been super relevant in Arena in a while, you know, I guess outside of Zeta Baris. So I like him. Again, same with Leia, though. He just feels a lot like a character that's designed for territory battles, which is fine. And I think, honestly, my favorite thing about him is in the post that CG did introducing him in the revivability animation that they showed, where he revives Rebel Officer Leia, and then she immediately gets destroyed by 3 stormtroopers, is pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah, that was pretty good.
I don't know. What just happened?
It's like, I was confused, too. I'm like, was that a good thing? I'm not really sure, because she's immediately dead again, But, I think he's got a chance to be relevant in Arena, only because, you know, who knows if healing and or reviving becomes more relevant at Gear 12. It totally might. But right now it looks like he's another character that we're all going to need for requirements, but it's probably going to be very territory battle-based.
Right. The one thing I have a problem with the revive characters these days is that there's, 2 or 3 characters out there now, and one's very heavily used still in Arena that prevents revives. So unless he can overturn that, which doesn't seem like he can, he's gonna keep calling that ability up, and it just doesn't do anything.
Yeah, especially since it's random, and the game's probably not built in the way where they'll call the one that Nihilus didn't just annihilate. So
yeah, well now because my team involves Nihilus and Death Trooper, so both those together, yeah. You're not gonna get anybody really back.
So it's Death Trooper and Nihilus and Boba, right? That all prevent.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. There's that third character I was thinking of.
Yeah, and the thing is, I don't even think he's the best rebel hero that can revive. Like I would prefer Jin over Captain Han Solo any day of the week. Yeah. Now, with that said, I do think he'll fit into some random heroic AT groups, and then obviously territory battles, but I can't see him being used in any form of arena.
No, not right now. He could be fun under an Akbar lead, you know, because of the random assists. He might be just throwing out days all the time, but again, it's easy to cleanse stuff now. Like, one, you know, debuffs are good for certain things, but you want characters that do damage, and it doesn't look like either one of these really do much damage.
No, they really don't. So, all right, and then we have one more character that's coming up that we don't really know anything about, and that's the new Yoda.
Hermit Yoda.
I couldn't think of the name. And, I mean, they've teased that it will be like nothing else. I mean, anything we would say about that right now is just... It's beyond guessing at this point.
Yeah, I've heard rumored that he's going to have the rebel tag to him, which I'm a little... If he really does have that tag, I'm going to be a little upset. Just because he's not
is
a rebel.
He really, yeah, I guess... Yeah, that's a. I think that's a valid argument. I mean, he's kind of off on his own.
Yeah, he's Jedi. He's just Jedi.
Well, I mean, but what about old Ben?
I know I don't like that decision to make him rebel, but I mean, he did conspire against the Empire a little bit with the old Death Star.
Yeah, he did help a little bit. I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, I guess Leia reaches out to him that, you know, we need your help. I guess in that instance, in just helping them becomes a rebel. I don't know.
That's my way of justifying old Ben in my head. It makes me sleep at night. So,
yeah,
fair enough.
But the Hermit Yoda thing would be a stretch, I think, to be a rebel. But they might do it. And listen, if it helps us do territory battles, then I'll be okay with it. Because it's not like I use Jedi in arena. So
now, one thing they did say, and I remember this, and I can't remember what podcast it was on or how long ago it was, but they did say that they really don't have a say over what tags the characters get. They get told by Lucas what tags go on each character. So a lot of it doesn't really, it's not really up to them.
Right.
So,
I'm kind of seeing a little bit that, okay, Yoda is going to have some synergy with Commander Luke.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way, Hermit Yoda is going to synergize a lot with Commander Luke, and I'm a little scared to find that out.
So, I mean, this is going to be a good segue. we'll go with that. The next thing we want to talk about is...
Characters shrouded in the light side.
Yep, is Commander Luke. All right, so we've had him... I mean, we've all got him at 7 stars, obviously. Dave, I know you use him, but so we'll start with Coleman first. Coleman...
Of course, what, you have to start with me.
Yes, because I like putting the Empire guy on the spot.
Okay, that's fine.
What have you been doing with your Commander Luke, or what have you been seeing with Commander Luke?
Kind of, you know, day one, I got him to gear 10, day two, he was gear 11, and I have all of his Omega abilities out, I have no Zetas for him. I tried moving my mods around a little bit to make Commander Luke work, you know, worked on my Raid Han, my Princess Leia was already gear 11, so I tried to throw them all in, but I don't have the right Zetas. I never really work on Rebels, and it just didn't work. So I abandoned all hope on Commander Luke for my arena. And so then I kind of got to dissecting what a Commander Luke team is, you know, whether it's the Raid Han team or, you know, the... Oh, what's the odd one I've seen now? Oh, the Qui-Gon Jinn Commander Luke team.
Weird.
Whatever. Yeah, I can explain what the team is in a second, but kind of the way I've gone about it is, you know, I've taken the speeds of these Godspeed, you know, characters in my shard, and I'm kind of like, okay, I'm on equal level, but because I run those Imperials, I've went, okay, let's throw Tarkin in as leader. There's that extra 30 speed, so I'm going first. You have no say in this, I'm going first. So I put together Tarkin, Grand Admiral Thrawn, Death Trooper, Darth Nihilus, and Stormtrooper. And that seems to be holding off on the offensive and defensive quite a bit against these Commander Lukes that are popping up everywhere. And the theory behind it is that just pretty much constant crit chance down and offense down, so they can't really touch me that much.
Okay, so what's this Qui-Gon team that you spoke of?
It's a guy, his name is Master Mike, and first time we all kind of turned our heads like, what? And it's a Qui-Gon Jinn lead with, it's a Zeta Qui-Gon, a Zeta Yoda, Commander Luke, Raid Han, and R2-D2. They're all Zeta, everything like that. And it's a unique concept, and I can see how it works on offense, but I don't know. It's just constant foresight.
I can see that. Now, have you used him in a raid at all?
I have not gotten the chance to yet, because recently Hat Raid has just been destroyed by Commander Luke.
Okay. So Dave, what has been your dealings with Commander Luke?
So I am running Commander Luke lead in Arena. I put him in right when he came out. I had all his gear saved, so he was, you know, immediately within 3 minutes, gear 11. I put him right into Arena instead of Rex with the same team I was running before, which was Thrawn, R2-D2, General Kenobi, and Nihilus. I quickly kind of geared up Han to gear 11. I Zeta'd Han. I Zeta'd Number Crunch. And I have Luke's lead Zeta'd because I'm an idiot and was way too excited to be able to gear him and accidentally Zeta'd it, which I didn't.
Nice.
Which I didn't mean to do. So I think ideally for anybody that is looking to Zeta something on Luke, I would definitely go for his second unique. It binds all things. It's much more valuable than the leader Zeta, but I'm still a few Zeta mats away from being able to Zeta that, but I'm loving him in Arena. I mean, and I think it's mostly because it's changed Arena a little bit. Obviously, Rebels had kind of gone by the wayside. You still saw some Chase, obviously. Chase was still around Arena, at least a little bit, but the Wiggs teams had gone away. Leia hadn't been used in like over a year in Arena. Raid Han hadn't been used since maybe the days of having to deal with droid teams, you know, again, well over a year ago. And really outside of R2-D2, you know, most Rebels weren't super relevant. I think it's nice to be able just to see some different teams. I mean, I'm loving him. They're definitely burst. Burst damage, you know. I'm running Luke lead with Raid Han, Zeta'd, and then Leia, Kenobi, and R2, and I love it. I mean, it beats pretty much everything on my shard. I have really good mods, but so does everybody else on my shard, so we're all, you know, similar to, I'm sure, your guys' shards on relatively equal playing field, and it's still a good mix of you know, you still see some Rex. There's still some Thrawn leads. There's still a handful of Nihilus leads. And then there are a few people that have, I think, the hard counter I've seen to Luke so far is Barriss with a Zeta. Mm-hmm. And since Rebels are so reliant on crits and just watching, you know, Raid Han just, you know, the fact that he can double tap on his basic now is just silly town considering some of the damage he can put out. I mean, if I have if I get the crits, which is his effective crit is well over 100 with the buffs that, you know, that Leia provides, and he'll use his one special for 30k and then double tap for another 25-30k. A character's dead. I mean, he's just it's pretty crazy. But with characters like Barriss, and if you know, it just heals that character back up, and you can't burn through a Kenobi, and you can't burn through a Thrawn or a Nihilus, and it's a really, really strong counter to this, and I would expect to see, at least, you know, in high-end arena for those characters that aren't going to go heavy Empire, because I think Empire is a very good counter too, obviously, that Barriss Zeta is going to be one of the things that people have to go to, because outside of that, it becomes a mod race on who's got faster R2s and who's got faster Commander Lukes.
Right. Ed, how's your experience been?
Okay, so I'm not using him in Arena yet, mainly because I'm building up a team around him. I run Resistance, like I've talked about, so like he doesn't really mesh well. I mean, he could mesh well with Resistance, but it's a little awkward. But I've been using him in raids, so like I don't have a Zader or Tebow or anything like that, and I was able to solo the Rancor for the first time ever with, like, Gear 9 characters because of him.
Yeah.
I know you were excited that day.
I was. I'm like, so I went in, I said, screw it. I went in with a Gear 10, Commander Luke, and then Gear 9, Wedge, Biggs, and Jyn. And just right. Those four. You don't want to use a fifth. So you just want to use those four. And it took me just under 20 minutes.
Right, and I think you were saying something that day about you don't want to use a full team because then you can kind of control where the assists go.
Yeah, you basically get Commander Luke's assist probably at least 50% of the time, and that removes 30% of the turn meter right there on his basic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the only reason you have Jyn there is for just in case.
Right.
So, I love it. I mean, I'm going to be using him in our next AAT in the first phase to do some massive damage. You know, it's just, I've loved it. I've actually come to realize my Resistance team is a semi-decent counter to Commander Luke. Hmm.
Resistance counters everything if you get those exposes to drop. I mean, they make the best top-tier teams look silly if you get exposes and you can chain them together. If Resistance played – the AI played like a human player played it, it would be almost broken because it would be that good in Arena. Yeah,
it would be. Like a Kenobi, useless to me. Like I can just destroy any Kenobi team. With Resistance, it's because once you put buff immunity on him, it's like, all right, you can't even taunt. All right, nobody else is gonna go, and you don't have taunt. I just can just pick everyone off. But I'm kind of getting bored with him, so I think I'm gonna be switching over to a Commander Luke team. I think I'm working right now on Wedge lead.
With are you Commander sure to come over to the dark side?
No. Because I don't have Krennic at 7 stars, Thrawn, Nihilus, or Shore Trooper, or Death Trooper at 7 stars. So I'm
breaking my heart here.
I am way behind.
I'm the same place as you. I don't have all those guys except for Nihilus at 7. My Empire is outside of Pal Vader and TIE Pilot. And I guess I have Thrawn at gear 11, but he's only 5 stars.
Yeah, I'm a bit fanatical about it. Everyone's 7 star. I'm even reading the Battlefront. I'm just finishing up the Battlefront 2 book right now.
And you're just waiting for all those characters to be released.
Oh, cannot wait.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get them. I'm sure we'll get them when Battlefront comes out or Battlefront 2 comes out. And I guess it's October. So
October, November. Yep. Yeah, right around there.
November.
November. So, but yeah, no, I'm going to be switching over to a Wedge lead. With Commander Luke, R2, Ezra, and then I can't decide on the fifth. Part of me wants to use Old Ben, And this is something I actually have to change from last week, is I found out if you have Old Ben's Zeta, if Thrawn fractures Old Ben, he still gets his taunt. And we were mistaken last week on that. We thought he wouldn't get the taunt back if he was fractured. But I guess I was talking to McMull, and he gets the taunt back after the fracture. So you can manipulate the AI pretty well with that.
Right.
I mean, that ability when Zated, especially if you pair it with something like Kenobi, could be just impossibly difficult to deal with. And if you just take three really strong attackers and shelter them behind those two, it could be a pretty strong team.
Am I hearing the forming of meta double and triple characters like Farm Boy Luke, Commander Luke, all three Han Solos, and maybe even Leia's, and now Kenobi's?
I mean, we could really just come up with a really wonky team. Although part of me doesn't want to have the same characters on the same team.
Yeah.
But I know I'll forego that. Once they release Jedi Luke, I know I'll probably want him. Yeah, you know Jedi Luke's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
So
in a year or whatever it is. Yeah, it's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while.
Oh, yeah. Because they have Jedi Luke, then they have Old Man Luke. So, yeah.
Yeah. They can't just pop Jedi Luke on us all of a sudden, like now.
Yeah.
So, make the game insanely broken.
I wouldn't be surprised if we got Old Man Luke before Jedi Luke, considering they're gonna release characters that have to do with the movie, and Old Man Luke would make sense.
Yep. Hopefully they release that Flames First Order Stormtrooper.
We don't need any more troopers.
First order.
Yeah, still.
We do need First Order.
If they don't release Huck, I think it's it. It's Huck, right?
Hux.
If they don't release him, then it's useless. Because he's like the one named First Order person that's not in the game.
Right.
Other than Snoke. But I don't think they'll ever release Snoke. He just doesn't strike me as a Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes game characters. So other than that, I think we had another lengthy episode today.
Now the other, speaking of Commander Luke counters, Zol
could be it, because they wouldn't be able, because like you were saying before, his counter ability is probably the most annoying thing.
Yeah. And if Maul can inflict those dazes, would that mean
it starts
falling apart?
But if you have R2, they can't dodge, essentially.
Right.
So then, I mean...
But however, the stealth ability still applies crit immunity.
True. It could be a counter.
It could work. I mean, I think it could work. I think it's just going to... But any one of those counters just causes a cycle back to, okay, then I'll go back to what I was using before that beat Sith.
And yeah, that was my worry.
Then Sith are irrelevant again once people start going back to the Rex teams and things like that. So, it'll be interesting to see how... But that's the type of meta I think people would wish to have, right, where you do have a variety of teams, and these ones can beat these ones, and these ones can beat those, and,
rock, paper, scissor kind of thing.
Yeah, but we end up always seem to migrating towards everybody's using a somewhat similar version of the same team, and it just ends up being a mod race, so.
Yeah, it's whatever those top 10 are really focused around.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I think that's going to do it for this episode this week. Do you guys have anything else to add, Coleman? Anything from you?
Just wanna say thank you to Dave for coming on the show tonight and really helping out with it, kind of explaining the way kind of the guild works and his views on Commander Luke.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on, Dave. Thank you for making the time to join us.
Yeah, I appreciate being on, guys. Hopefully I'll make a repeat appearance at some point.
I can see that happening.
Yep.
So, well, thank you all for joining the latest episode of our podcast. If you have any questions, as always, please email us at rebelforcealliancepodcast@gmail.com or on our Twitter page at RFApodcast. As always, iTunes reviews are much appreciated. And until next time, keep building up Hoth Rebel soldiers, because that's really going to be the new meta.